come to church for your well day, you'll have to explain everything. You can just come and say thank you so much for all that you do. It is a real blessing to be in this church, just knowing that you guys pray for us, support us. When I start talking about things, I don't have to explain it a lot, other than that you already understand it because you pray for it. And you're a lot of the ones here, you help make it happen. You have a lot of people here who teach clubs, they counsel, they serve at camp, they do all of these things. And so, just in the very beginning, you don't hear me say anything else today, just hear me say thank you. I really appreciate what this church does and what it means to our ministry here. There's a verse up here, Acts 14:27, and it wasn't read for the scripture today, because it's just very short, and it's just kind of an idea that I think that we're living out today. When Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, that's there in Acts chapter 14, and they come to the end of that chapter. This is the last verse pretty much in this chapter, and they come to the end of this thing. It says that when they were come to heaven, means when they got done with their missionary journey, they come back to their church in Antioch, they gathered the church together, and they rehearsed, it means they repeated all that God had done with them, and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas, when they got done with their missionary journey, what did they do? They came back, they gathered the whole church together, and they gave a report. And they said, listen, while we were gone, this is all the great things that happened. These were all the great things that we got to see God do. And so today we're kind of living out this verse, because it's been about a year since I've been here. I feel like it's the same thing. It's like I get to come back and I'm just going to rehearse. I'm just going to report to you guys all the things. I thought about doing it all on PowerPoint, but I know that a lot of you pray for us and you like to have these things. So what I did was I printed up these sheets. I put some in the bulletins, but I think some people snuck their bulletins out before I got here this morning. And so if you don't have any, I know we still have some more here. We can give them to you, and I'll leave all my extras on the table in the back. If anybody who really needs one of these before we go, Steve's got a couple copies up at the front. All right. Some of you are kind of used. We send out a newsletter every month. And I know that a lot of people grab that newsletter, and the first thing they look at is called Little News. Now, Little News is like about my family and my kids and things like that. And when we started writing this in the newsletter, they were all little. But they're not little anymore. All my kids are bigger than me and stuff like that. It's just, you can see a picture of them right there. I just kind of run through. I wish they'd all could have been here, but my wife plays the keyboard, plays the piano. My son plays the bass guitar. My daughter plays the drums and the guitar. And they're in praise team, and today was their day. They came up for praise team at our church. So they're back at our church doing a praise team right now. I'm here, but I've got a picture of them, and just kind of update you a little bit. Every year things change. Cora, our oldest daughter, is in Thailand now. She graduated from college. She's in Thailand. She's teaching English there. There's a Christian school. She married over the summer. She married a boy named Seth that she met in college, and he's also a teacher. He teaches math. And so she's teaching elementary, she teaches fourth grade, he's teaching like middle school, high school math. And so they're in Thailand, and they like it a lot. In fact, they like it so much they signed up for another year. They kind of signed up 1 year, and I said they'll be back over the summer for a couple weeks to visit, but then they're back off to Thailand. Caleb, my son there, he is in college. He's in his second year of college. He's at the College of Southeastern Seminary. The seminary has like the seminary part, and then they have like a college part. And he's in the college part, but he likes being on seminary. He gets to hang out with lots of people who are in the ministry and doing things like that. Their seminary is actually doing a missions trip to London this year, and he's going to go on that missions trip. It's an interesting thing. He's taking some classes like in logic and rhetoric and things and apologetics, and they're going to go over there and they're just going to share the gospel and give a defense of the faith and explain why it's reasonable to believe in Jesus and to have a faith in God. Sometimes people think, people who believe in God, it's just a crutch. It's not really what smart people do. It's just kind of a thing you do when you can't figure things out. And they're going to go over there, they're going to talk and share why. It really is reasonable that to believe in God doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. In fact, you know, God is often the answer that is eluding you when you don't have God. You have all these things, say, I don't know about that, but God is the answer for that. I have a son, Jacob, who is graduating this year. He'll be in college next year. He is not quite sure what college he's going to go to. He'd like to go to Liberty. We're just kind of looking at that right now. We're hoping that all those things will work out with the financial aid and all those things to come through, and we'll be all set, and he'll probably be in Liberty next year studying computer science. My daughter, Olivia, she is a junior this year. She's done one more year, and she already knows the college she wants to go to. She wants to go to Laterno in Texas. And she's going there because she wants to be an engineer, and that's what we go to if you're a Christian and you want to be an engineer. And it's just the best one for that. So she's really good at math, and so I encourage her to say, well, you know what, go ahead and use that math as an engineer. We'll figure out how to get to the term. So those are my kids. As far as the ministry goes, I've shared before, I'm the only full-time person with CEF in the county. We have a couple of part-time people. My wife is part-time. Anna at our office is part-time. And so when you kind of look at myself and my wife, you're looking at two-thirds of all the staff that's there, the full-time person, the part-time person. So, but you know what? It doesn't bother us because it means that, you know, we're a volunteer-driven ministry. It takes a lot of volunteers, a lot of people in the churches, and that's okay with us because, you know, the kids in South Mountain are going to hear about Jesus, and the people in South Mountain have to tell them. You know, you just can't say, well, we're going to get this evangelist in, he's going to come into town and fix everything for us. It just doesn't work that way. You know, we get to facilitate, we get to help you guys with a lot of that, but, you know, it's the people who are in the churches who are really doing the work of the ministry. And so that's just something unique about CEF. It's not like that in every ministry. In some ministries, it's a very, you know, top-driven thing. It's not grassroots. You have people up here, and they make decisions, and they run things, and you send your money up there. But the reality is, like, when CEF, Franklin CEF, when you support that, you're supporting the things that are going on. So when you look at some pictures that are here, I tried to include some pictures of Waynesboro. This picture right in the middle, that's of Summit View Elementary School. They meet in town. And I like that picture because they're sitting there, and if you look in front of all the kids in that picture, it's a little dark because the room's a little dark, but you can see in front of them, there's just like this white thing on the floor. And you might be like, what in the world is that? It's in front of all the kids. Anybody want to guess what that is? It's in their Bible. Yeah, somebody gets that. And they're all sitting there reading the Bible. So she's telling the Bible story, and they're reading the stuff out of their Bibles. And so I think that's a good picture of what happens in club. You also will see a familiar picture there of Mr. Steve and a little girl. And there's a real interesting story. I put this thing in there. I wanted to tell this story. It happened just last week. I'm getting ready. Even though there's like snow on the ground and everything's cold, I'm trying to get ready for camp projects because we try to build some stuff at the beginning of the year, prepare things, and if you don't start planning it out now, it's not going to happen before camp because there's all this other crazy stuff. So I have a project at camp that I really need a torch for, and you know, it's just not always one of those things you can just go out and get, and they're a little expensive, and I'm sitting here weighing like, how am I going to pay for this? I don't know. You get a torch, you have to get like a tank of acetylene and a tank of oxygen, and you got to get this set up. And you know, they use this to build pipelines and other things, so it's not a cheap tool. And I said, you know, God, I'm just going to go to the store and ask them. And so there's Cracked Air's up in Chambersburg. They fill up the tanks and they take care of a lot of welding supplies. So I walk into this, but I'm just got out of my Canoes Club. So I'm wearing my Canoes Club shirt and everything. It's about 3:30 in the afternoon. And I walk in there and start talking to the guy. And I'm talking about, kind of about camp and the project I'm doing and how I kind of need the torch. I said, I'm just right now doing a feasibility, figuring out if I can afford this or not. I said, I need to know what this is going to cost. And I just need to tally up ahead of time what the estimate is going to be. And he's looking at my shirt, and he's like, do you have a good news club? And I said, yeah, I'm Dr. Dan. You know, we do the good news clubs in all schools. He said, my daughter goes to the good news club in Ben Chambers. She loves that good news club. And I said, well, that's really neat. He said, well, do you know her? I was like, well, I'm sorry, you know, I'm the director. I said, my wife goes to Ben Chambers good news clubs on Thursday afternoon. She helps out. Is there something unique about your daughter? that would help me remember to ask my wife. He said, well, my daughter's name is September. That's kind of an unusual name. And I said, oh, that should be good. And I said, you know, I'm sorry. I said, there's 180 kids that could do stuff. I said, it's very unlikely I just would know about your kids. And I said, and he said, no, that's okay. And he said, the only other thing I think that's interesting about her is we sent home Christmas trees for the kids, and they put their money on it. They tape it on. It's a little instruction piece of paper like that. It's a little Christmas tree. But she had so much money she wanted to put on that it wasn't big enough. So she built her own tree. And so she kind of made that a cardboard. And I was like, your daughter made her own Christmas tree out of cardboard? I said, I've got her picture on my phone. And it's that picture right there that you see. So that's his daughter, and it's like that. And he said, you know, what? He said, because I really like what you're doing for my daughter. He said, I'm just going to give you the tank for free, and I'm going to give you the fuel and all that stuff like that. And I just thought, like, and it just took all the cough away. And he said, you know, I said, are you sure about that? I don't have a piece of paper on me with her letterhead or anything like that. He said, no. He said, I'll talk to my boss. My boss wants us to have good relationships with people in the area to do good things for kids. And he said, do you have a prayer card? And so I had the one where with my kids. And he said, do you have a card like that? He said, I'd like to put it up. And so they had like a little bulletin board there. And so he put our CEF card up on the bulletin board to show ministries and things in the neighborhood that their business supports. And so I just thought it was just interesting that I'm walking into this place and, you know, I'm just well, maybe God is sort of a stab in the dark that we could do this. And God had all these things laid out. And he knew what we needed. And he had a way to provide it. And the guy who was there, he was just tickled with all the things that were going on with his daughter. And he was asking, he said, you know, so, well, is there anything I can do? I said, well, do you have any vacation time? I know you're the manager here. Do you have? He said, yeah, I get about 3 weeks a year. I said, well, you can take 1 week of that, and you can come to Gadusium. So he's thinking about it. He's thinking about taking a week of vacation so he can come to Gadusium with his daughter. That's the next picture I have here. If you go all the way up to the top, you'll see Michelle up there, and that's her group. If you go to the CEF website, it's franklincef.com, our 2019 camp brochure is there. And so if you're looking for the camp brochure and you want to get it a little ahead of time, we're going to mail it to everybody on the newsletter, and we're going to send it out to all the kids who are in our Gadus Club. But if you're one of those, you just want to get that jump on it, it's all there. And the South Mountain Week this year, because of the way things fall, you're the last week of June. A lot of times you're the first week of July, but because things got shifted around a little bit this year, you are now the last week of June. So you can just mark that on there. If you can comment, or if kids want to know when the bus is going to be in the church, you can go ahead and say, hey, last week of June, we're going to have a van out here, we're going to drive it down there, and we're going to take everybody to camp. We have a great time at camp. There's lots of things that go on. As I shared, we have about 1,400 kids every summer that come to camp. You know, it's a lot of kids. And so we do everything we can to try to bring even more than that. We don't want to turn anybody away. And that's sort of our thing. Good news camp. Over the summer, kids are in daycare, kids are with grandparents. The new camp is $50 for the week. It's cheap enough that grandparents can send the kids and they've been keeping them all summer. It's cheap enough that parents can, you know, afford it. In fact, it's cheaper than daycare. And they can send it. We have all these kids, and even though sometimes people say, you know, I've got 3 or 4 kids, I can't afford that much money for camp, nobody ever gets turned away. Well, what could you afford? Have to do whatever. We have people who give camp scholarships and pay so the kids can come to camp. In fact, we're talking about Ben Chambers, that elementary school. They've kind of banded together, and they tell all the kids in their Gadus Club. They say, anybody in this Gadus Club who wants to come to camp will figure out a way to pay for you to come to camp. And so we try to make it real affordable, and the reason it's affordable is because everybody there is a volunteer. Paying staff or anything like that. So 1,400 kids. When you look at our Good News Club, it's about 2,200 kids a week. And so that's a lot of kids when you start looking at it. You can look there and see there that Summit View, that's one school. There's 28 other schools in Franklin and Fulton County just like that. 29 total. And like I said, some of these schools get really big. We start talking about Ben Chambers, it's got 180 kids. Fayette-Bettel, Pat Valley, 190 kids. Southern Folk has like 160 kids in it. And the biggest good news club is Greencastle. And Greencastle, I think right now, has like 304 kids in the good news club. That's a lot of kids coming there. It takes six buses to bus the kids to Greencastle good news club. Like you said, we start thinking about, you know, 300 kids, what's that like? But that's six buses of 50-something kids coming to the club. So, that's a lot of kids, a lot of things that are going on in this area. We have some phrases on the back. I just mentioned you can see some of the stuff on the back. This year, Waynesboro Area School District decided they weren't going to let permission forms go home with kids. The kids were going to have to get them off of a website. The problem is it was really impossible to find the website and where these things were. And so our attendance went down dramatically. Really, only people who stopped by our office and got a permission form for their kids. So the school ends up changing their mind, and it's interesting because, you know, people were starting to talk about things starting to happen, and it actually became good for us because this year we actually have more kids than we had last year, and I think it's actually because people were talking about it with each other. Did you hear they can't do it? No, I didn't know that. And we'll tell somebody that they should be teaching. Coming to club and all this, and so it all worked out. So we actually have more. Now, this is probably going to happen sometime in the future because, you know, it's just the way things are. Everything's going from paper to electronic forms, and school permission forms are the same way. So it's going to happen, and hopefully along the way, the adjustments will be made and everything will go well. But praise the Lord, you know, you wouldn't think you'd say that at the beginning of the year. It seemed like, oh my goodness, are we going to have any good news clubs in Waynesboro? Here it is at the end of the year, and I can say, praise the Lord for that trial, praise the Lord for that difficulty, because it opened the door, and we have more kids coming now than ever before. The biggest need with Good News Club is Bibles. As we share, we use Bibles. A lot of these kids who come, we ask them, you know, do you have your own Bible? Do you have a Bible in the house? Like, is there a Bible anywhere? And many of them will just say, no, there's no Bible. And I'm going to tell you, you can't come to a Good News Club and you can't hear a teacher say, everybody should read their Bible and pray every day. Because if you hear that and you go home, you go, well, I don't have a Bible, you know what I mean? How am I going to read the Bible? So what we do is we give kids the Bible. We know, we talk to them, we know they don't have a Bible and they don't have one in their house, whether it's a Good News Club or school. We try to give them a Bible. But if you're talking about last year, about 380 Bibles, and you start adding up Bibles at like $10 a piece, something starts to hit about $4,000 a year. And it's one of the things we've never said, you know, we really want to, we've seen every year different people coming in, different places coming in, and the money comes in to keep providing Bibles. Because I think a lot of people are there and they say, I want to help those kids, I want to get Bibles to kids who don't have any Bibles at all. So we see these things come in. But it really is, of all the expenses that we have, it's probably one of the biggest expenses. It's actually more expensive than buying a bus or doing a lot of these other things that you would think, like, oh my goodness, that's a really big expense. But no, just doing this with the Bible, that is probably one of our biggest expenses. But we feel that it's very important because we are trying to teach these kids about God's Word. We want them to have a Bible in their house. And it's interesting, just at different times, a lot of times we'll write a note in there, or if the church gives Bibles, we'll write the name of the church that the club meets at, and it'll be in there. And we've had pastors say, you know, I had that this family had a problem, and they said, well, we need to talk to a pastor or a church. And they went and got their kid's Bible, and they opened the Bible up to find out the name of the church where they had their Good News Club at, and they called the pastor up because that was there. So, we've got Waynesboro, we're in the club, we've got our camp, lots of really great things going on. And again, it's not just things for people in church. You know, we're reaching the people who don't go to church, they're outside of a lot of this. And that's why, you know, we talk about being good news club. It's a club for people who need to hear the good news. It's good news camp. It's a camp for people who need to hear the good news. We operate here in Waynesboro and Franklin Fulton County. We operate around the world. And what I did was I brought pictures from around the world, and I'm just going to flip through these right now. CEF divides the world up into eight regions. And so you can see they're different colors here. So America and North America is green, South America is that purplish color. Then you go over Africa, it's actually got four different regions. That blue color is the Middle East. Up above it is Europe and Russia, and then you have China and the Pacific, Asia and the Pacific. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to flip through some of these. I'll start with one that I think you guys will all be familiar with. It's Diane Pomeroy, and she is now the Literature Training Director for Middle East and India. And so when you start talking about what does Diane do to help boys and girls know about Jesus, well, the first thing she does is she works with translators to translate the Bible and these Bible stories. If you've been around CEF, you know they've got those great visuals and they've got the Bible stories that have the gospel in them. But you know, you can't just hand that English book to somebody and say, here you go. You have to make it in a language that they understand. You have to translate it. So she's out there working with the translators to help them do that. And then once they have a translation that makes sense, that shares the gospel, then they've got a print. So she's going to find these printers. And you know, the easiest thing to do would be printing it in countries that are more Christian. If you think about the Middle East, India, those are countries where they're Hindu or they're Muslim. And so a lot of these people who could print it are like, I'm not going to because I'm a Muslim and I'm not doing something for a Christian. And but they found really good people. In fact, I think these boxes here came from Ireland and they were printed there for free. And so they only had to worry about the shipping. Once you've got them printed, then you've got to ship them to where they're going to go. That still doesn't end because the teachers in these Good News Clubs have to be able to use it. And so Diane has been doing a number of these trips to train people how to use the lesson, how to share the gospel, how to give an invitation, how to give the child to Christ. In fact, she is in Sri Lanka right now. And this is sort of what the schools are there. I show this picture to kids sometimes. And they don't always understand why all the kids are wearing ties in that outfit. You know, they're like, everybody's wearing a tie. And I said, well, you know, I said, when do people wear ties? Well, when you go somewhere important, right? When you go someplace important. I said, well, in their culture, the most important place you can go is school. So you dress up to go to school, you wear a tie to go to school because you're going to someplace really important and you need to dress up to show that you're going someplace really important. But they go to those places like that, and the ones that can, they have the new clubs, they teach the lessons and things. This past year, they saw an increase of 500,000 kids in their Good News Clubs. When you start getting, you start thinking, that is a lot of kids that's gone. And that's just in, you know, the time that she's just been there. The reason for that, more people, more books and things. Like you think, if you send 100 books, you're only going to have as many clubs as you can have with 100 books. You send 1,000 books, and now they're talking about we need to send 10,000 or 100,000 of these things. And so that's the numbers they're talking about. I'm trying to send 10,000, and their goals are to send 100,000 copies of these things. Because if you send 100,000 of them out, then you can have a lot more Good News Clubs and a lot more kids. So the translation work, the shipping, the printing, the training, all of those things, they've seen real fruit in that. Even, like I said, in just a year or so that she's been in that post. Speaking of CEF stories, this is an interesting one. This is from South America, from Honduras. And I'm kind of jumping into the picture here a little bit. But you see, these boys are at Carnival. And Carnival is really big in South America. It's big in Brazil. And they have parades. They have rides. They have food. You can see they're all eating candy. That guy's excited about something. But right in the middle is a little boy, and he doesn't look too happy. If you look at him, in fact, he looks a little sad and upset. That's the reason. He was very poor, and his friends wanted to go to Carnival, and he really didn't have the money to go. And he didn't want to look bad in front of his friends. So you know what he did? He stole some money from his mom. She kept money in a little jar, and he went in, he opened up the jar, he took some money out, and he went to Carnival. But he knew he had done wrong. And when he got home, he told his mom what he did. She said, you know, Jesus can help you do right. If you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, he'll take away that sin that you've done, and he'll give you a clean heart. Jesus will give you, he'll live with you, he'll give you the power to do what's right. And it's interesting, that little boy who stole from his mom to go to Carnival, that little boy that prayed and asked Jesus to be his Savior, is now Abner Pineda, and he is the regional director of South America. And so he goes around with little boys and girls and reaching them. He's like, you know what, if God could forgive me for all the bad things I did as a kid, then I know that God can forgive you as well. I mentioned already that Africa is broken up into four parts. There's east, west, north, and south. A lot of times Africa kind of looks the same to us because we're Americans, but they're different, and so they have it broken up that way because of different strategies. I want to share with you just a second about West Africa. The man's name is Richard and Rebecca McQuay, and they're the regional leaders, and they work in schools, and they have a very unique strategy that has been very effective. This is a picture of what their schools look like, and I showed this to boys and girls. A lot of times they look at it and I said, does that look like your classroom? No. And then I have them count it. If you actually will sit down and count, there's 48 kids in that classroom. And if you start counting desks, there's 12. And it says, that not it in your classroom? Or there's, no, there's not 48 of us. And then when you say, no, we all have our own desks. And I said, well, the reason for that is because you all have your own books. But I said, if you look in here, where is the only book in this entire classroom? And if you look there, you'll see it's only in the hands of the teacher. And I said, this is the way school is in West Africa. The teacher will read something as a book, and they will repeat it. You want to practice that today? Or we'll do that. It's like, CEF is in West Africa.
CEF is in West Africa.
Their leader is Richard McQuay.
Their leader is Richard McQuay.
Would you guys like to do that all day? They're like, hey, don't worry. Why do they do it that way? I said, they do it that way because there's only how many books? And I said, every once in a while, the teacher will shake things up and they'll do things different, and the teacher will write something on the chalkboard. Or the kid will come up and write something on the chalkboard. But that's the way school is done. Richard and Rebecca Quay will get these books from CBS. This is a children's devotional book. And they will go to the principal. And they will say, listen, if your school will give this out to each child, and that's real important, they said, we're not just going to give it to you as a principal, because if they do, the principal will take it to the black market and sell it for a little bit of money. But they said, if you promise us that you will give this to every child in your school, we will give them to you for free. I ask the boys and girls, I think, how do you think a kid feels when they get a book? Do they go, a book? That's not a real present! No. This is probably the only book they own, and it'll be their most precious. And they'll take it, and they will read it, and when they're done, they'll read it again. And you know what? The teachers like it too, because the teachers want to teach the boys and girls English. So it doesn't matter that this is in English. In fact, that's the reason the principals are so happy to take it, because they're like, they tell their teachers, have the kids get their book, and once a day, open it up and read the devotional with them. Or work with the vocabulary. A lot of these have little prayers in them. They'll say the prayer with the child and have them pray that during the week. And it'll go through and it'll go through and it'll go through it again. So that by the end of those years, the kids have heard the devotional book four or five times. And you just think of how many boys and girls they can read. How many can they read? It's really only limited by the amount of books that they can buy. The more money that they get, the more schools that they go to. And some of these schools, they have, you can see this one says two. There's about six of them. And so you can see they can go every year for 6 years. So a kid can get one of these every year in their elementary school and not get the same one. And when they get done, they would learn all these verses, all these things about God. They would know so much about the Bible. And it's all evangelistic that they would learn about God. It's a really wonderful strategy going on in Africa. Now, well, highlight Greece here. Greece is part of that area of Europe and Russia. Our missionaries in Greece are the Petkoffs. The Petkoffs work with a group of people called Gypsies. Sometimes it's hard for us to know what Gypsies are, but Gypsies are really, today's word is refugees. When you look at Europe and wars and other things that are going on, you have people who leave their country and they get into another country. They really don't belong in that country. In fact, they're not even citizens of that country. But they're stuck there because they've got no other place to go and nowhere to go. Often, many of these gypsies, these refugees, they live in a camp, and the camp is like trailers and tents, stuff like that. Nothing that's really permanent. It's just sort of there. And a lot of times they have a hard time getting jobs, and so they commit crimes and they do other things. And so people don't want to be a part of it. So these gypsies are in the country of Greece. And I mentioned that we have the tech talks work there. They don't work with the Greek kids. The Greek kids have their own people from their own churches doing stuff. They work with the gypsies because the gypsies have nobody working with them. They're refugees, often they're homeless. And so when they do a Good News Club, it looks a lot like this. In fact, you see, like, they're outside for a lot of these Good News Clubs. So there's Mr. Fletchkoff, and he's talking to the boys, and they'll do a lot of the same things. They'll do the songs and the games. In fact, he's sitting there with a child, reading to them from the Bible, counseling them so they can know what to do. But he does something very interesting at Christmas. He does a birthday party Good News Club. And you can kind of see that top corner up there. He's holding up a piece of paper, and that's actually a birthday cake. And he's talking about how Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And so he talks about Jesus' birthday, he talks about what Christmas is, and then he talks about how we've all sinned and we need to be born again. And now that we have one birthday, the day we're born on, but we all really need two birthdays. We need a second birthday, a spiritual birthday, when we ask Jesus to be our Savior and we become born again. And so they go and they have these parties, and one of the reasons they get pretty much every single kid in the gypsy camp to come there, because one of the things they do is they bring Christmas presents. And they said, listen, we know that the gypsies, the kids won't get a present for Christmas. The kids won't get a present for their birthday. So what we do is we kind of put it all together. We say, if you have a birthday and you come to our Good News Club, we'll give you a present. Well, that's, you know, every kid is there. So they all show up, and so they all hear the gospel. So during the year, you can see that his wife, Linda, they shop, they find things that are on sale, they pack it. It reminded me a lot of, like, what you hear, like, Samaritan's Purse back and forth kind of became a thing. They were kind of doing this themselves. And so they were doing this. So they reach these gypsy boys and girls, and here's a little gypsy girl, and she's holding a doll. And she was just so excited that she got a present for Christmas. But again, the real good news of this is that the story is telling them about God's love. And when they understand that people love them and that they love them because of God, they can understand that God loves them too and that Jesus would love them and die for them. Now, switching gears here, this is the Pacific. You see we got China, we got Indonesia, we got the Philippines there. Although the Philippines doesn't have a name on it. I kind of feel bad about that, but I picked out that. Fiji's all the way over there at the International Dateline. Fiji has a training center. As I shared before, one of the things that you see is when you train somebody to tell stories and use the gospel, they do it all sorts of places, and they go places that you can't go. This is our training center in Fiji. It kind of just looks like a gym on the outside. If you go inside, it'll look like this. And it's a big room with chairs set up. And you see, that's not kids at a Good News Club. That's adults who have come to get trained. And so they'll teach them the songs, they'll teach them the Bible stories, they'll teach them the verses. And then the great part is, once they've been trained, guess what they send them out to do? Have a Good News Club. So that's what the training looks like. If you want to look to see what Good News Clubs look like, that's kind of what it looks like there. I always joke with my kids. It's like Dr. Dan and the helper up there. And then all the kids are sitting there. And you might think, Mr. Mike, when his kids were outside for Good News Club, it was probably pretty cold. But if you're in Fiji, you can have your Good News Club outside. You know, it's nice and warm there. So we've kind of gone around. We've talked about, Franklin County represents, like, things in America. We've done South America, Africa, Europe, the Middle East, and now here we are, Asia and the Pacific. We've covered everything, except there's one country left, and Mr. T talked about that. In 2007, Reese Kauf, the president of CBF, he was looking and realizing that CBF hadn't gotten to a lot of places in the world yet. There are some countries where there's a lot of stuff going on, but right beside it just wasn't quite as much. I have a little saying when I was a missionary, and I said, my saying was like, the world is more like a waffle than a pancake. You know, like if you have a pancake and you pour syrup on it, it kind of goes all out evenly and it spreads out over everything. But if you pour it in a waffle, you kind of have to make sure it gets into every little square or it's just not going to get there. When you go out as a missionary, you might say, well, we sent somebody to this country, somebody to this place, but what happens a lot of times, it gets stuck in a little square, and you have to really work to try to get it to all the different places. And Greece was saying, listen, we need to get into every country in the world, and his goal was to do it by 2018. That was when CM would have his 80th anniversary. So it gave him about 10 years, and they were going to start working. So every year, they kept adding four or five countries, they kept going. And eventually, all the way up in 2018, they had all the countries except one. And that country is North Korea. And so, they are, they're sitting there and they said, we would like to get into North Korea. They actually are making plans for it. You can see, this is a picture of South Korea, and then North Korea is above it. South Korea is all lit up because all kinds of things are happening there, but North Korea is all dark. And it's not just dark because they don't have electricity, it's dark because they don't have the gospel. CEM has a very strong work in South Korea, though. There's a lot of Christians there. And they're waiting. They've got everything ready to go. All they're waiting is for the access to get there. And to open up and for them to go in. They have everything they need. In fact, I've seen some pictures. They have like this little Tupperware tub, and they've got it sealed up with material, and they can throw it on a truck and drive it up to North Korea and be there by the end of the day whenever things open up. That's why we got to pray for North Korea. It's interesting though, we've been praying for North Korea very strong for about a year or so now. And in my mind, it's not coincidence. Have you noticed how North Korea has been in the news in the past year? And they're talking about making peace and signing a peace treaty and opening up. And they hadn't talked like that for like 10 years. But in the past year or two, all of a sudden they're talking about it. And I believe it's because people are praying for North Korea. And boys and girls and children are praying. My kids and my club pray for North Korea. Because the boys and girls are really want to hear about Jesus. Now, we can't go in now, but we still are doing everything we can to do so. This is a picture right here of Reese Kaufman, that's the man I mentioned, President Tia. And if you look, he's kind of got this white, kind of looks like a square pillow. It's actually a helium balloon. And that white is actually Bible text, the Bible verses. And you'll see there's a little black and white squares. And those are pictures. So what they've done is they've taken CEF lessons and they've just kind of printed them on this helium balloon. And it shows the pictures and the Bible verses and it has the gospel message and all that. So what they do is there's a time of the year when the wind blows from South Korea into North Korea. So when they're doing that, they start blowing up these balloons and they let them off into the air and they float up and they go up about 10,000 feet. They go over the border, then they start getting cold, running out of air, and then they fall down to the farms and the other places. So they've been sending thousands of these things over, and they've actually heard of people who are reading these and getting these. Now, it's very dangerous to be a Christian in North Korea. In fact, they say if you become a Christian, you'll probably be dead in the next 2 or 3 months if people start finding out. But we're seeing more and more of God doing amazing things and God working. There's a lady that works for CEF in North Korea, and she has a business there. And she was sort of a secret Christian, people really didn't know she was doing much, but there was a flood that came, and her business has a second floor to it. And so everybody in the town came to her business and got up on the second floor because the flood was going by. And that the building is shaking and they're looking outside and they can't see anything but water and all like that. And so in the middle of this thing, the woman gets up and starts praying. And she starts praying, God, all these people from town or all these people are here, my village is here. Don't let our village die. Don't let our village get wiped out. Protect our village and we just trust you with our lives. And so the flood went down and said, and everybody in that town found out that she was a Christian. And so all of a sudden they thought, well, she's dead. You know, the government's going to come in, they're going to put her in a car, or we're never going to see her again. But the people in that village said, no, we're going to protect you. We're going to make sure nothing happens to you because you saved our life. We would be dead if it wasn't for you and your ability and things like that. And you hear stories like that of how God is working, God's at work in these people's lives. And we know it's just a matter of time before God opens the door to that final country. I think God, He's allowed us right now to set the stage and do things, but we're doing everything we can. We're getting everything ready. We're going to be there so that when that final country opens up, we can go to it. So we are going to close here in prayer today. I hope just as I shared with you about these things, that God kind of inspired your hearts for missions. I know it's Missionary Sunday, and I really wanted to make a lot of what we talked about today, not just about me or my family or camp or clubs, but just about what God is doing around the world, because we're part of something that's really good. We're part of something that's really amazing, and sometimes we lose sight of that, and we need to be reminded of it. And I hope this morning it's just been a reminder of what it means to be serving God. We sing the song, Jesus loves the little children. You know, God loves these kids. If we love these kids, God loves them even more. And if God's loving them, He's putting all these things in place. He's sending Diane out there, and just a very, just the perfect person for that job. And He's got Abner, who was a bad kid, and now here he is, he's serving God. And all these other people with strategies for Gypsy, strategies to get into schools and have good books, strategies to train workers so that they can do good news bugs, and strategies to send balloons over into these countries that are closed. All of these things, God is at work doing that because Jesus loves those kids. He wants those kids to hear about them. So I'm just going to close in prayer. They're going to, after I get done, they're going to pick up and finish out the service. But just as we come to this time here, we've heard a lot. Don't let it just kind of all wash away. Don't let it just kind of all slip out of your mind. Just right now, if God's speaking, you just talk to God in prayer. Share with Him what's on your heart. If it's a thank you, say thank you to God. If it's something that God's stuck into you, to say, listen, I need you to be doing this to yourself. Once you want to be a part of this, say yes to God. We don't want you to leave the service today without having a time to make things right between you and God. When we come here and we hear the Bible, just like it says in James, nobody looks in the mirror and looks at themselves and doesn't try to fix something up, doesn't try to make things right. Right now, we've heard from God. We've seen this report, just like Paul and Barnabas did for their church in Antioch. You guys have had that report right now. Let God use it so that you can speak to Him, so that you can go out of here today ready to serve Him this coming week. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for our time here this morning. I thank You for all the great things that You're doing. I thank You for this church. Lord, I just thank You for the way that You're at work around the world in ways that we can't even understand and don't always even know. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing in Africa, South America, and Europe, and the Middle East, and India. We pray, Lord, especially just for North Korea this morning. I pray that You'd work in our hearts. I know that the President has another meeting with the dictator of North Korea. And Lord, I know that he stands up for Christians, and I pray that You would just allow him to have an influence and allow the dictator to allow people to come in and for this to really be a difference and to be a changing moment in the history of this country. I pray that the people who have plans to go to North Korea would be able to get the access and the visas and all the things that they need to do to be able to go. And we pray just especially for the children, Lord, as we know that many children, they don't have a say in what happens to them. But Lord, we know that You love them and You're there for them. But we just pray that they would be able to meet these people, who would be able to share the good news with them about Jesus. We just pray especially the boys and girls themselves who know Jesus would be able to share it with others today. Pray for the church, for the club, for Waynesboro, for all the things that are happening. But Lord, we pray especially just that what we do in this church would just change eternity for you. Come, we give ourselves to You. We ask You to use us this morning.